gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. Jim walked in and said, have we started World War III yet? And I'm like, no, we can't because there's a kitty in the subway.
Kitty in the subway.
Oh, no.
Is it in the express or the local?
Oh, no, kitty, get out of the subway.
It shut down the subway for an
Don't
hour.
Don't sleep
See,
in the subway,
who says
kitty.
New Yorkers are heartless? They stop the subways for an hour because there's a kitty.
I'm sure there's a lot of bitching going on. I'm sure everybody didn't say, oh, no, kitty.
Oh, no,
so
kitty.
Door is for a cat? For a freaking cat?
Move the cat out of the subway.
I gotta go somewhere.
Yeah, work. All right. All right, so everybody, that's the good news. The kitties are out of the subway. They're safe.
Good.
Now back to World War III. Zoinks. All right, 7 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, first of all, Jim is probably going to change his vacation plans. We go on vacation today right after the show.
Well, you do.
Right. Well, you have to work, Cinderella.
I know.
For about three more hours.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever, wah. I'll call you a wambulance. I have Uber.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Jim is going to change his vacation plans. Why?
Why?
A 21-year-old Polish woman is seeking to set a record by having sex with 100,000 men.
I read that.
For 20 minutes each.
You're a Polish woman.
How you doing on 20 minutes?
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay.
Okay. 20 minutes, wow.
That's...
Okay.
All right.
She says her goal is to be recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records. It will take her to every city in Poland before she sets off on a world sex tour.
Okay, so time to get into training.
Right,
okay.
There you go. She said, I want men for Poland, Europe, and all around the world. I love fun sex and men. Wow-wee.
Everyone needs a
hobby.
You
know who else invaded a Polish woman? You invaded.
No, that's no.
That was kind of clunky.
No.
I was trying to get to a Hitler reference for Jim just to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
All right. So, obviously, the big news is Prime Minister Cameron loses the Syria war vote. Yeah, this is... I was saying, I was watching Jeremy Bash, I think it was on Rachel, from the administration. And, as Hal said yesterday, just because we're talking about it doesn't mean we're for it. I'm as terrified as everybody else is. And by the way... I don't care what you say. I blame George Bush for all of this.
George Bush is the one who gave us the war fatigue.
Yes, everyone. Yeah. Whether it's in Britain or here, Prime Minister Cameron lost a vote endorsing military action against Syria by 13 votes. He said the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. David Cameron talking about what I just said.
The well of public opinion was well and truly poisoned by the Iraq episode, and we need to understand the public skepticism.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love question time with the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
He just yell.
What was your point? I don't have one, actually.
It's like one big long Tea Party town hall over and over. Garg! He said he believes in a tough response to the use of chemical weapons. He would respect the will of the House of Commons. He said the push for strikes against the Syrian regime began to lose momentum as Britain's Labour Party, still smarting from its ill-fated decision to champion the invasion of Iraq, announced its opposition to the move. So, we've been talking about this all week, but it's just, that's the thing, is just, if you could, when you listen to Jeremy Bash and you talk about, surgical strikes and what it would do, you go, well, yeah, if it would do that, unless it would... make things worse, and how do you know? And I think even as a liberal, this is a struggle. How do you say you don't care about these pictures of women and children gassed to death? It's just, of course we care. It's just then you go, I mean, you look at all the what-ifs, and it becomes, this from the New York Times, U.S. facing test on data. I guess sometime later today, Chris, is what we're saying, the administration will release a declassified version of its intelligence report. The evidence of the massacre undeniable. The bodies of the dead lined up on hospital floors. Again, this is just what makes it different from Iraq, number one, but it's those of the living convulsing and writhing in pain, a declaration from a respected international aid group, and thousands of Syrians were gassed with chemical weapons last week. So we're saying the administration says what they're going to release today will show proof of a large-scale chemical attack perpetrated by Syrian forces. With the botched intelligence from Iraq, though. See, you can't do this story without the shadow of that. Casting a long shadow over decisions about waging war in the Middle East, the White House faces an American public deeply skeptical about being drawn into a Syrian conflict, and a growing chorus of lawmakers from both parties angry about the prospect of an American president once again going to war without congressional consultation or approval. And I get that as well, that this is just that's the thing, is we're never going to be able to have a conversation again without Iraq in the shadow of
right, at least for the next 50 years.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the further tragedy of this, is this guy, I mean, clearly it looks, he gassed all the, and then I'm just saying, so is that part of another horrible ripple effect of the Iraq war? Is that's okay now? Because they know that we will never have the public will to do anything about it. I mean, the president, I don't know if this was yesterday or was this the PBS thing?
The PBS thing. It was
okay. We sent a shot across the bow saying, stop doing this. That can have a positive impact on our national security over the long term.
It could.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with what this has to do with our national security.
Oh, well, here's a new wrinkle. Serious cyber attacks may target banks, media, and utilities. Well, that'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be great.
No. But, like I was saying, what does this have to do with our national security?
Well,
in order to use the War Powers Act, it has to be a direct threat to our national security.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that hasn't been established.
Right. We've been through this. I mean, somebody wrote a piece that went through, all of, for over years and years. And the other thing is that, there usually is a reaction. They talked about, I'd forgotten about that. They went way back to the... the bombing of the Marine barracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reagan had ordered them to open fire on, a Muslim militia. There was a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that bombing was a retaliation for that. And then, it talked about some of the stuff that Clinton did, and that coal was retaliation for that.
Right.
And whoever did whatever to Gaddafi, and the Lockerbie bombing was a reaction to that. That's what I mean. Is just, you go, where? How does this ever end? There's always a reaction and a reaction, an action and a reaction, and then where does it end? But it was an interesting history. If you look at everything, this generally has just not gone well.
No, it hasn't.
Do
we need to insert ourselves into it again?
Who was it that, I guess Clinton tried to get bin Laden, whatever, and then, the reaction was, again, the coal bombing and then 9/11.
Yeah.
And then we, responded.
The era of declared wars from nation state against nation state seems to be
it's over.
It's all skirmishes now that lead to
the bigger skirmishes. Yeah. Exactly. We were talking about it. And you can't disconnect the world now. As I was saying, all these headlines yesterday, you go, okay, Iran says it's going to do this if we do that, and then Israel's going to do this, and Russia says they're going to do this. I mean,
And the tragedy is we just got a fairly reasonable regime in Iran now.
Yeah.
And now there's all this stuff going on.
Well, and a reasonable regime here, thank you very much. That's what I mean. We have not the guy that started Iraq, and who very much wanted to get us out of wars, who has succeeded in that. I mean, this is the last thing, he obviously wanted to be dealing with, and everybody that's on the inside talks about that with him. This is not, he does not want, and it's interesting, too. I was reading a whole analysis. Who is it? I think Eleanor Cliff did. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jim.
Wrong!
No, she's not. She's right about what's happening in the, but I mean, it's an interesting breakdown, even in this administration. First of all, it's a lot of the women that are urging action, Susan Rice and Samantha Power, and it's the men, it's the Joint Chiefs, it's Dempsey, it's the guy that's in charge of the Joint Chiefs that's saying we shouldn't. I mean, it's an interesting turnaround. I guess they're, what are they calling them, liberal interventionists? I mean, these are liberals, but that feel like, from a liberal's perspective, we have to intervene because of John Kerry. John Kerry, obviously, has been, Jim, as you were talking about, anti-war since obviously forever.
Since the Vietnam War.
Right.
Yeah.
But, clearly called this a moral obscenity, and he's one pushing for. So, I mean, it's an interesting mix, too, of who's liberal, who's conservative. You've got, John McCain on one side, Rand Paul over here. I mean, some liberals, it really is. Anyway, we were just talking about how other places would, this is Daily Beast, how Iran would retaliate to a U.S. strike on Syria. If the U.S. launches limited airstrikes on Syria, Iran has threatened a response. What they're saying is government analysts do not expect Iran to attempt terrorist attacks outside the Middle East or Afghanistan. even in the event of limited U.S. strikes on Syria. One Syria analyst said the Iranian capacity to carry out terrorist attacks beyond the region has eroded. They got so upset about the killing of their scientists, and they embarked on a campaign of terrorist attacks, but almost all of their attacks have failed. But, you know, again, we're just guessing what that means and where,
yeah.
You know. All right, so lots to delve into here. 17 minutes after the hour.
But the kiddies are safe in that simple.
Yeah,
okay.
Except they got on the express train instead of the local.
Oh, no,
silly kitty, they're in the Bronx.
Oh, kitty, no.
What are you looking at?
Now it's Bonfire of the Kitty Vanities. No, kitty. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy little John Fuglesang coming up at the top of the hour for Fridays with Fuglesang. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, unless we bomb Syria this morning, I will be on The Ed Show on MSNBC and then also on Aaron Burnett on CNN. A media whoring.
You're double teaming.
Right. Right.
You dirty, filthy whore.
Thank
you. Filthy.
You're just saying that to be nice.
You slut.
All right. Grace in Alaska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Grace.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I'm calling from a running track. It's pitch black, and I have my beautiful, romantic German Shepherd.
Aww. Oh, handsome, romantic man. All right, go ahead.
She is.
Oh, she is. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
she's
talk.
Yeah.
That's why she's romantic.
Yes.
Hey, I wanted to talk about, I have a wonderful employer who allows me to watch TV while I work, and I watched pretty much the full session of the House of Commons yesterday.
Right.
And I was quite jealous. I was watching Democracy in Action.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I know, you know, Grace, I thought of that, too. I thought, can you imagine watching the doofuses in our Congress? We have to listen to Louis Gohmert and God knows who else spout off.
It would have taken 6 months.
Yeah.
I think homosexuals call smog.
Right. We'd have to listen to the Herp Derp Caucus.
Yeah.
Or they would never have gotten the microphone.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, there were some incredible points made on both sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more important ones was they were talking about how, you know, even if they do a surgical strike, supposedly surgical,
yeah,
thousands of people are going to get killed. And then how is that going to answer what was done with the gas?
Yeah.
Thousands of people get killed. I mean, remember what happened when we accidentally bombed the Chinese embassy in Kosovo?
Yeah.
I sure remember that.
Yeah.
So we have to put more pressure on Russia and the moderate Iranian president. Yes, this is all kabuki theater, and we're not really supposed to say that too much out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know, Grace, I was going to say that yesterday. You wonder how much of this is, you know, obviously they do that sometimes. It's, you know, it's a way to force, you know, certain kinds of actions if they really think that, you know, A, C, or A, B, or C are going to happen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Exactly. Everybody just cool it. Support.
Everybody calm down.
President.
Yes. Gentle down.
Everybody gentle down. Everybody.
Game of nuclear chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, I mean, I have to say.
Nuclear chicken.
Yeah, I, you know, I was watching my buddy Ed, who, yay, he's back on full time.
So good to have him back.
I know. Oh, my God, I missed him. But, you know, I think all in all, I think it's a bad idea, too. I mean, I understand it, and I'm torn even as a liberal. Like going, you know, you watch all these, you know, women and children gassed to death in their sleep, and you go, how do we, as not just as, you know, liberals, but as humans, as Americans, go, that's okay. You know, it's not an art cup, but at the same time, I don't, everybody says the same thing. He doesn't have any good options.
Yeah.
I mean, surgical strike sounds good, like Grace just said, but
there had better be some really, really compelling evidence in the stuff they released today.
I was going to say, it's pretty compelling what we've seen already. That's the difference with Iraq. It's not like, gee, I wonder if it happened or if he has them. I mean, Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we will see. But, yeah, I was saying it is an interesting piece by Eleanor Clift, even in the Daily Beast.
Wrong!
Right.
No, she's
no,
right.
She doesn't have an opinion. She's just talking about
stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Facts. Jackie Jamado!
But, you know, again, it's one of those, like, imagine yourself in this position. She said in 48 hours, the Obama team went from controlled anger over a reported chemical weapons attack to prepping in, for airstrikes against Assad. And, you know, she just talks about sitting there with the in their situation room with these reports like pouring in. This is what I was talking about. She said, given those advising him, a team dominated by liberal interventionists is what she's calling them. I mean, the turnabout shouldn't be a surprise. By Saturday morning when Obama met with his advisors in the situation room, which we were all in, remember? We got a tour.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
There's nobody important in there, but what I'm saying is we were in the room.
Right. That where that
right.
picture was taken.
Bin Laden, right. Okay. Anyway, his position had already hardened. Multiple reports of chemical weapons abuse were pouring into the White House. Doctors Without Borders reported treating 3,600 people at three hospitals. 70 of its 100 volunteers had fallen ill. One had died. The organization was scrambling to get more supplies of atropine, the antidote. By Saturday night, the decision had been made to assemble a coalition of the willing that would bypass the UN Security Council and its certain veto by Russia and China. National Security Advisor Susan Rice sent an email to UN Ambassador Samantha Power and other key players that said of the UN inspection team on the ground in Damascus, the investigation is too late and will actually tell us what we already know. CW was used. It won't even tell us by whom, which we already know. What they're saying is, you know, by the time they were let in there and then they were bombarded with sniper fire and then continued bombing, that, you know, the evidence is degraded in terms of being able but I think what, you know, Jay Carney was saying is that they're the only ones with the, what do you call it, the rockets, the delivery systems to have done this. Anyway, so let me.
Unless the rebels were supplied with some rockets by someone else.
Seems unlikely.
Let me just finish. It's possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it won't even tell us about blah, blah, blah. Various news outlets reported the administration tried to abort the UN inspection team on the grounds that it already knew with certainty the Syrian regime was behind the chemical attacks and that evidence at the sites the team would be visiting had been degraded by subsequent bombardments, you know, which to me is obviously further evidence of likely guilt. The fact, I mean, you know, why, first of all, are you going to you keeping the inspectors out if you didn't do anything? Why are you bombarding them with sniper fire and then bombing? I mean, they're obviously trying to... I mean, it's just, come on. I mean, I'm just saying some of that is just common sense. Jay Carney repeated the administration's assertion there is no doubt chemical weapons were used on a massive scale, and that only the regime had the rocket capacity to deliver them, and that a response is essential to uphold international norms, including a chemical weapons convention prohibiting such weapons signed by 198 nations. Not Syria, oddly.
Huh.
Obama is assessing the nature of that response with his team with one caveat, no boots on the ground. Again, you know, for anybody that thinks he really wants to do this or he really, I mean, this is the decision to use force is being driven by what one foreign policy official called the humanitarian hawks or, you know, as Eleanor Clift called them, liberal interventionists. Is Powers, Rice, and now Secretary of State John Kerry. Kerry has reportedly been advocating for airstrikes for more than 2 months and supported sending lethal aid to the rebels long before Obama signed off on it. And the first red line was crossed earlier this year. I mean,
there must be something in the intelligence to get these historic doves to be
that's
such.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you can't. This
there's
does not fall
be something
on
there.
Even just general like liberal conservative
something
lines.
We're not hearing about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and you know, and so when you go to, oh, who do you trust? Well, I do trust them, Obama. Did I trust Bush and Cheney? No. And with good reason.
Because they had other interests.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with more on this as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Private Syria.
Stephanie Miller.
No fair, we just went to church.
Yeah, so we've already heard stories from thousands of years ago about stuff that didn't happen.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, that's nice. George W. Bush was on Fox and Friends?
Yeah.
Saying he's not a fan of Assad.
He's never been a fan of Mr. Assad. He's a Mr. Assad.
Yeah.
Mr. Assad.
Yeah, guess what? We,
I am not
one of your fans.
One of your fans!
Maybe his face being on the TV not so helpful right now.
Maybe I should have bombed him, too.
Bob in Akron says, staff, could you please stop referring to botched intelligence when referring to Bush's Iraq war invasion? As Valerie Plame, so many others would gladly tell you,
it wasn't
botched. It was cherry-picked, so congressional leaders and the American people saw only what the Bush administration wanted to see. Thank you, Bob, for that reminder. I did not realize I had said botched. It was a botched president,
intelligence. Botched presidency.
Yes.
Two of them.
Oh, by the way, interesting. He could show up on Fox and Friends. He was not available for the Martin Luther King for the...
No.
That's interesting. So he was, because he cited health reasons?
Yes.
That why he was not available?
Yet the Fox and Friends caught him on a golf course.
Oh, I see. So he was able to be chatty about Syria this morning.
He was able to
Fox.
Golf.
Huh.
Right.
But by the way, has Bill O'Reilly issued an apology and
he
a retraction?
Did. He issued an
apology. For saying that no Republican was invited to the...
He issued an apology last night. It was a mea culpa. It was actually very contrite.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And did
he
mention that pretty much
life,
every major Republican was invited and they all said,
he says no.
No? They all had, what was it? Oh, that's so many scheduling conflicts.
Oh,
gosh, Jim, it's a busy time of year,
you know,
I guess.
I've got a Klan rally. Oops, Bill O'Reilly admitted his on-air misstatement was, quote, entirely on me, saying he merely assumed Republicans were excluded. He told his audience in his tip of the day, always check out the facts before you make a definitive statement, and when you make a mistake, admit it.
That's
a first.
Wow. Interesting.
So, you know, that's kind of big of him.
Yeah.
He was, because that is shocking. He was saying that sometimes things on Fox News they have not actually researched the facts first.
Yeah.
Before they, So he just assumed, he was assuming that he was really admitting Fox, not really news so much.
Right.
Okay. That they just were saying, this is just an assumption and we're just going to say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just assumed.
All right. Well, you know what? He kind of had to do that because can't get caught in that big a lie.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't get caught when every major Republican was invited and they all said no. Kind of can't go, not one Republican was invited and get away with
that, really, can you?
Were. Right.
Al Sharpton really let him have it yesterday.
Yes.
It was hysterical.
We got you.
Yeah.
Nice try, but we got you.
You got blueberry pie
you
on your face.
You got blueberry pie on your face. You lean forward too far.
Right into the pie.
I love Kathleen Madigan's line that her dad loves Al Sharpton because it's the only show he can hear.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the fun facts. Oh, why looky here, Bill O'Reilly. Every top Republican invited to the MLK anniversary event said no. Yes. Bill O'Reilly said it was strange that, quote, direct quote, no Republicans and no conservatives were invited to the event.
Yeah.
Even he doesn't usually go that far. That is like the wrongiest McRongerson he's ever been.
He was totally talking out of his ass.
It really
there.
Seems odd he would just have said that based on no actual information. Let's see. Here's a rundown of the top Republicans, Jim, who were invited and what they their
excuses.
I'm not excuses. I'm sure they're valid reasons. Former President George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush chose to decline because of health reasons.
Yes,
although apparently George W.
was healthy enough to go golfing.
Right.
Yeah.
Was golfing.
George H.W. I can see.
Right. Yes, he was golfing and talking to Fox, though, George W.
George W. was, yes.
Right, this morning. Interesting. Wow, a miraculous recovery from...
Whatever.
2 days ago.
From whatever ailment kept him from traveling.
And George H.W. Bush was well enough to watch a screening of The Butler. And yell multiple times, "Hey, honey, is that Oprah? Is that Oprah?"
Yes, it's Oprah.
Just saying.
No, it's Tyler Perry.
Oh, he's in a wheelchair, though, so.
Right. Yes, right. Oh, okay.
He won't be doing any skydiving.
John Boehner, scheduling conflict. He was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. With no public events scheduled, but I guess just something.
Well, there's a great tavern.
Well, no, that means he was probably fundraising.
Right.
So.
Yeah, well, that is a conflict.
Yeah.
Eric Cantor was touring oil fields in North Dakota.
I was getting a mani-pedi.
With the North Dakota Petroleum Council lobbying group.
Yeah. He was being lobbied by oil.
Senator John McCain, despite having voted against making Dr. Martin Luther King Day a federal holiday in 1983, the event committee did invite him to speak. He declined due to unspecified
Well, meeting with lobbyists and fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The organizer said, we attempted very vigorously to have someone from the GOP participate. Unfortunately, they were unable to find someone. Anyone. Someone? Anyone?
Wow.
Is anyone out there?
You'd
anyone
think
at all?
Michael Steele would show up.
Anyone out there? Anyone at all? They were unable to find anyone who was able to participate. So busy.
Is anyone out there?
Busy.
Anyone at all?
Mm.
Do you hear me?
All right, we were talking about the irony of, the politics on this whole Syria thing. Mm-hmm. That Eleanor Clift writes that the President Obama is being advised by, she calls him either liberal interventionist or humanitarian hawks, which include John Kerry, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and interesting, the head of the Joint Chiefs, Dempsey, is against it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, so...
The hawks
right,
are against it.
Right. let's see. Is it Samantha Power tweeted reports devastating, hundreds dead in the street, including kids killed by chemical weapons. UN must get there fast, and if true, perps must face justice. She tweeted, right after. 5 days later, she said, haunting images and entire families dead in their beds. Verdict is clear. Assad has used CWs against civilians in violation of international norms. Anyway, Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs General, said. He said, what do we expect the region, and particularly the Syrian conflict, to look like 3 months from now if we strike this week or next? So obviously he wrote this whole letter that John McCain called him a C4, saying, I think he's just looking at, he's like results oriented, which mm-hmm. is the same thing. I understand the humanitarian thought behind what, John Kerry and Susan Rice and Samantha Power are saying, but the practical side is like, what do we accomplish? What does it do? Is it a deterrent? As someone said yesterday, what if he moves the weapons and we hit them and then we cause a chemical attack?
There are no good options.
Right,
no.
Right. So Eleanor Clift finishes, will lobbing cruise missiles into Syria may only make a bad situation worse? Can the president remain true to his apparent goal of limited intervention, steering clear of the shock and awe regime change that led to a decade of war and heartbreak in Iraq? If it's to deter and degrade, I'm all in favor, said one former State Department official. If that's what it would do, if it would degrade his ability and deter him from doing it, great. And if you listen to Jeremy Bash talk to Rachel Maddow, you go, oh, that sounds like... that could work, and that's what we need to do. And then you listen to someone else, and you're like, no. That's a horrible idea. What? No.
Oh, God, no.
Well, if we knew for a fact that the gas and poison was not actually mounted on the launch vehicles,
right.
I mean, you just take out the launch vehicles, right. That'd be one thing.
That's what Adam Schiff said, and he's been against getting involved at all. And Representative Schiff said to us 2 days ago on the show,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's for now. And he was against arming rebels. He was against... any kind of intervention, and a lot of people do feel a line's been crossed. Again, it's just a question of what do we do
exactly.
about it? Josh Earnest, the White House Deputy Press Secretary, yesterday.
These international norms are important, and it is not appropriate for totalitarian dictators to flout them with impunity.
Aaron in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good, thank you. I wanted to say that I completely agree with what you were saying earlier. Any kind of targeted strike, I don't understand what it would do. And with this comment, I don't mean to take away from the humanitarian plight that's going on there. I say prayers every night for those poor people that have no control over what's happening. But I think it's time we prioritize. I live in Iowa, and all week we've been dealing with this heat wave. So I'm a parent of a kindergartner, first-time kindergartner, and I am looking at the fact that we're going to go ahead and spend out billions or millions or however dollars to the big companies for them to get richer off of the war machine. And we have to send our kids to schools with no air conditioners. I mean, why can't we just get air conditioning in our school? This is an important thing, these poor teachers. How can you even teach a half day when it's 100 degrees in your room?
Yeah.
That's
insane.
So
I do not mean to take away with what's going on, but I am very tired of seeing not only the middle-class citizens, but our young citizens be set aside so that the war machine that America has become can get richer.
Yeah, Aaron, I hear you. Listen, I called my air conditioning guy yesterday. I'm like, there's not enough Freon in the upstairs one. It's horrible.
Eisenhower warned about this decades ago with the military-industrial complex.
See? We're a little me.
The compound isn't cooling down to a frigid 65.
I need to get my fan
good
out.
Good heavens, it's 68 and a half.
simply intolerable.
My latte's too hot, and it's not cool enough in here.
God.
Oh, garçon.
Donald in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Donald.
Hello, Steph.
Hello.
How you doing? The thing is what really gets me about this whole thing, and when I got out in 68, I was one time watching TV, and I saw Kerry on television. He was addressing, I believe it was a congressional office or something like that. He had fatigues on. He had long hair.
Right.
He was one of us. There were, a lot of us protested the war when we got out. But the thing is he made so much sense. I mean, when I was watching him, I was cheering in the living room. I was jumping up and down, and I remembered him. I voted for him when he ran for office because of what he said. And it's like he goes back on his words, and it just it floors me that he's for it, and Chuck Hagel's for it, and our president is for it. Now well, you could say what you want about you know the moralities and everything, but you know what, I know something.
I don't think John Kerry is any more for war than he was back then. I think he is genuinely morally outraged by what has happened. So that's what I mean. I don't think we need to impugn people's like motives or why they feel what they feel. I think you and I probably agree. It's probably not a good idea. Just for a lot of reasons, you know.
But, you know, there's one thing, too, I want to say. You know, we had a crackpot that sent a derogatory remark on the Internet that affected all of Islam. The whole of Islam rose to a cause. Next thing you know, they're burning embassies and killing our diplomats and doing all this. How come they don't rise to a cause to something like this? Why do we have to go? Because if this starts up, you can rest assured one thing. They're going to have to start a draft up again. And your sons and daughters will end up having to go. And you can end up losing both of them.
Yeah, the thing is, if they do that, we'll stop doing this.
Yeah.
The minute we have a draft. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Play that fucking music, why?
Girl.
Lay down the boogie and play that fucking music till you die.
Till you die.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Gordon says, Steph, you can't go on vacation. If you go now, you'll start a new war. The biggest news events always happen when you're on vacation. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
If we bomb Syria at 9 o'clock Pacific precisely, I will forever be known as a warmonger. I'm already clearly a neocon. Oh, boy. Have I gone on record saying I'm against this? I do not think it's a good idea. I understand the humanitarian part of it, but I... okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
It's almost like World War One. All these forces.
Yeah. Perfect storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Perfect storm, actually. Josh, Ernest, who seems actually very earnest
very
about
earnest.
This.
Very earnest.
White House Deputy Press Secretary.
Unfortunately, what we're seeing right now is Russia repeatedly block efforts at the UN to hold the Assad regime accountable. That is very disappointing, but the President of the United States is not going to allow that obstruction to prevent him from making decisions that are in the best interest of our national security.
Mm. Yes, we are. We are.
Disappointed!
Mm-hmm.
Huh. But not surprised.
Jeez, they're usually so helpful, Russia, in every way. Okay, let's go to Al in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Al.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, I'd have to say that no president has ever had this much adversity in his first and second term. You know, we had a frozen market, a record number of filibusters, and then the Middle East uprise. You know, and then we had the Fukushima earthquake near a nuclear power plant, then the BP oil spill. You know, and then we had over 200 tornadoes in the Midwest, then the Hurricane Sandy, and the list goes on.
Yep.
And then
Obama is the devil. Since he's...
Yes.
Yeah, and then I wonder if he, you know, having received the Nobel Peace Prize, does that cause a little indecision?
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think?
I would not want to be him making this.
No.
This is a... Oh, by the way, on What the Fox tonight, this is all you'll hear. All you'll hear about Obama refused to send gas masks to Syrian opposition.
Oh, come on. Really?
Syrian opposition groups have been asking for gas masks and chemical weapons protection gear for more than a year.
Well, we should have sent it to them.
Yes, but, you know, again, like, this is part of the people that were screaming, too. Like, you know, they didn't want any, you know, they didn't want to send anything to rebels because things falling into the wrong hands. But, you know.
But this is protected gear.
I know.
Different than
gas masks aren't rocket launchers. It's to
keep people from being poisoned.
A former official said in the early days of the Syria conflict, even the smallest amount of aid to the Free Syrian Army was viewed with great concern.
Oh, boy.
Blah, blah, blah. they did review the issue last year, determined they wouldn't provide gas masks or other chemical weapons protective gear to Syrian opposition because of fears the equipment could get into the wrong hands.
Yeah, but
the official said, let me just finish. The provision of protective gear for the opposition sounds like an easy idea, but we need to consider the potential for misuse as well. Such equipment requires proper training to be effective, and we need to be careful about how and to whom we provide it. But, you know, you're right. I mean, again, hindsight's 20/20. That you go, well, yeah, if we'd known this was going to happen, obviously we should have done that. But,
I mean, it's not an offensive weapon. It's
right.
To protect people from that sort of thing. So
right.
How do you
but
misuse?
But the people that didn't want to get involved at all were wary of sending anything to because there were so many different elements, Al-Qaeda.
Repercussions. Different.
A spokeswoman for the National Security Council said decisions based on assistance are based on what the administration believes is its best use of U.S. funding, taking into account the priorities of the Syrian opposition, and are coordinated with international partners. And again, like the Republicans wanted to cut funding for everything, you know, when we're making decisions. Now, of course, they're going to go, oh, now look what Obama did. He didn't send them mess because, you know, they wanted to cut funding for everything, not just international, but domestic.
And we sent chemical weapons to Saddam Hussein when he was fighting the Iranians, but we couldn't get protective gear to people who are trying not to be gassed.
Yes, exactly. Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Richard.
Hi there. You know, those gas masks can be abused. You could make bongs out of them.
Bongs.
Bongs.
Hi, Mook. Hi, Stephanie.
Bongs. Bongs. Okay.
Bongs. I just wanted to say this is not an episode of 24 where we have to act immediately.
Right.
The president has had emergency powers for years, and for 70 years, Congress has not done its job. They're the ones that are supposed to decide. Mm-hmm. Obama could, like, throw this in their lap, and whatever happens, it's not his fault. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't just do that. And I also like
I think after what happened in the parliament yesterday, Richard, in Britain, you know, that may well happen. I mean, obviously, the at least pause button has been hit. We'll see the stuff they declassified today is. Let's go to Ethan in Arlington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ethan.
How are you? I just wanted to ask you a question. If we find out that the rebels were the ones that released the gas, what do we do then?
Well, I mean, we'll see what they release today. It just does not seem likely. The rocket delivery systems, that would be really difficult to get. I mean, the government, you know, apparently is the only one that has those. Representative Mike Rogers of Michigan.
I think the facts will be on the president's side, but he needs buy-in from Congress.
Republican of Michigan, Mike Rogers again yesterday.
I think it's very important, I think both for legal reasons and for doing the right thing by getting buy-in from the Congress, that the administration come up, talk to a broader set of members to get buy-in to the program.
Congress, I agree. Particularly after Iraq. Yeah.
Apparently, Congress's whole function now is to make Obama look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that they're sitting there now going, again, not what's in America's best interest or ours. How can we make this look like Obama screwed up somehow? Danette in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Danette.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
There are two things I want to say. One is I'm echoing something that a previous caller was talking about where she lives in Iowa. I'm the spouse of a retired veteran, and there are programs that my husband is entitled to. For example, when he goes to college, or in his case, he's a truck driver and he gets training, they're paying him a monthly housing allowance. We don't get that housing allowance until 60 days past the time that he does the job. And we can send, you know, umpteen millions of dollars or spend, you know, billions of dollars doing this surgical strike that could potentially kill thousands of innocent people that we're trying to protect. And we're, you know, literally living from hand to mouth after my husband has served 24 years in the Army. I think that we need to focus on priorities here. And I'm sorry what's going on in in Syria, you know, why not send humanitarian aid?
Well, yeah.
I hear a lot of people saying that.
Yeah, they're obviously, that's one of the things that's being discussed. But, you know, what do you do? Just keep sending aid after he keeps gassing them? I don't know. 58 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang next for Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, no.
Not really.
John Kerry's going to be making a statement at 9:30 Pacific.
Yep.
See, let's hope that... our prediction. I'm going to get blamed for the Syria war because if his thing is we're bombing Syria, it's going to be because I went on vacation.
That's exactly it.
Because news only happens when I go on vacation. I will forever be known as the cause of the war in Syria.
Uh-huh.
Great. Terrific.
You're the cause of most plane crashes because plane crashes only happen when...
Right. When I'm about to fly.
Right.
Mm. Right. Awesome. Only one person can save us now.
One important thing in mind, America hasn't legally declared war since December 8th, 1941.
That is true.
So it won't actually be war. And our right-wing friends who are now into peace and nonviolence for the first time, how refreshing is that? Huh?
Yes, nice.
How delightful. Listen, just keep one thing in mind. Americans don't care when Muslims kill Muslims, so don't worry.
Oy. John, we were saying, it's interesting, the whole makeup of what's going on now, we were reading a piece by Eleanor Clift, and she's calling, you know, whether it's John Kerry, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, liberal interventionists or humanitarian hawks. I mean, this is one of those things, like, as you just alluded, is not coming down necessarily on partisan lines, right?
No, it's not, and thank God for that. But even if you oppose intervention in Syria, which I do, but I mean,
what
kind of intervention are we talking about? I think that this is the sort of thing the UN was built for. The UN has got to be the authority on this, and people keep trying to compare it to Iraq. Our right-wing friends especially try to compare it to Iraq. Listen, when Barack Obama sends 4,000 American troops to die on a lie and his vice president's business makes $37 billion in taxpayer dollars, then you can compare it to Iraq. What we need to compare it to, sadly, is Rwanda. There's nothing at stake for the national interest. People are slaughtering people somewhere else. And the question is, do we send in any kind of missiles, which could be used for schools here, but do we want to have our tax dollars go to help partially stop the slaughter?
Yeah.
And Barack Obama's big mistake here, and I don't mean to badmouth the president, but when he talked about having, you know, this red line a year ago, very early in the conflict, the problem he now faces is, if world opinion is listened to and nothing is done in Syria, it's more or less being the world superpowers giving a green light for third world dictators to use sarin gas on
people. No, I said that earlier. The one thing I did say is, look, John, he was answering a question when he was asked that. And what was he supposed to say?
Yeah,
oh, no,
exactly.
It's okay. That's fine. That's a line he can cross. He can, you know, use chemical weapons. I mean, you're right. It's not just the president. It's international law.
And the only thing certain on this is that Republicans aren't allowed to criticize anything this president does when it comes to war, ever.
Yeah. This here is British Prime Minister Cameron yesterday.
Let's not pretend there is one smoking piece of intelligence that can solve the whole problem. It is not about invading. It is not about regime change. To me, the biggest danger of escalation is if the world community, not just Britain, but America and others, stand back and do nothing. Because I think Assad will draw very clear conclusions from that.
Yeah, he will. And so will Putin, by the way, who's the real bad guy in all of this.
Yeah.
I just got an email from someone. It's very interesting facts about Russia and Syria. It should be remembered that 30,000 Russian citizens live in Syria. In 2006, Russia forgave three-quarters of Syria's debt in return from new arms contracts and permission to enlarge the Russian naval base at Tartus. Without that base, the Russian Navy can't reestablish a presence in the Mediterranean without having to pass through NATO-controlled Dardanelles. And since they've cast a lot with the Alawite-led minority government, Russia has a vested interest in opposing a revolution that would put the majority Sunnis in control in Damascus. That puts them at odds with Sunni-majority countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia and puts them at risk of losing their special relationship with Syria overnight for the Sunni rebels to achieve
regime.
What's
the source on that?
Well, this is from someone who sent me
an
email.
But you need to be careful about reading just emails that come in.
But it sounds like, I mean, if all that is true, that... you know, Russia had an interest in
Well,
are you still glad that Edward Snowden was so very, very helpful to our friends in Russia and Mr. Putin?
Well, you don't know that that's the case.
Actually, we don't know that he was helpful.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been helpful as a whistleblower about the
and we don't know if what you just read are facts, though.
And
so
we also still don't conclusively know, and someone please tell me if I'm wrong, but that it was proven that it was the Assad regime. There is another theory going that it is the rebels, who are made up of a lot of very unsavory characters, who may have obtained the chemical weapons to use.
Yeah,
to
but they don't have the rockets to deliver them. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. By the way, I just read a series of tweets, Jim. Miranda had with him 58,000 highly classified UK intel documents, including UK intel personnel abroad. Totally normal, nothing more to see here, folks. WTF, Miranda was detained with 58,000 encrypted documents and a handwritten passcode. One file contains names and locations of agents. I'm curious to know how Snowden reviewed 58,000 files before stealing them. Someone else tweeted, I'd also like to know what the Guardian's definition of a whistleblower is.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. If anything, this all proves, John, this is a dangerous world we live in. And, once again, I do not think Snowden is a hero. I think this is exactly what we're talking about now. Who knows what Russia and China got from him that now are going to oppose us at the UN. And it's just, it's not up to jackalopes like this.
As I've said, by offering up secrets in exchange for asylum in China, he really undercut his credibility as a principled whistleblower.
Thank you. Let's go.
And by the way, that is to still point out that Snowden told the truth, Manning told the truth, James Clapper lied under oath to Congress, and he still got a job. The real bad guys will never see the inside of a jail cell.
Exactly.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
He absolutely fudged his answer, James Clapper. However, I don't know if you saw this whole thing in the Washington Post. It's a long story. U.S. spy network successes, failures, and objectives detailed in the black budget summary. Well, you know, this whole thing, the Washington Post got a hold of that Edward Snowden leaked, John.
Right.
And you read this whole story, and you tell me if you think this is helpful to the United States, that I'm reading this in the Washington Post, and countries and terrorists around the world are reading all of this stuff. Whether that's the Edward Snowden's pay grade to have released all this stuff.
Well, it's not his pay grade. Of course it's not. However, if your tax dollars are being spent to break the law, do you have a right to know? That's the question these guys have.
Well, here's what's out there now. The summary, we see both sides of it on this show.
Yeah,
the summary, reading from the Washington Post, the summary describes cutting-edge technologies, agent recruiting, and ongoing operations. The Washington Post is withholding some information after consultation with U.S. officials who expressed concerns about the risk to intelligence sources and methods. Sensitive details are so pervasive in the documents, the Post is publishing only summary tables and charts online. But even the stuff that I'm reading in here, I'm like, ugh, great. This is great that all of our enemies know all of our methods now and all. I mean, it's just it made me furious this morning, particularly in the light of everything that's going on, internationally right now.
And it's the difference between a leaker and a whistleblower, because technically Snowden isn't a whistleblower if all this stuff was made legal under the last administration.
Yeah, U.S. spy agencies have built an intelligence gathering colossus since September 11th, but remain unable to provide critical information to the president on a range of national security threats, according to the government's top secret budget. It's called the Black Budget for fiscal 2013. The Washington Post obtained it from Snowden. It details the successes, failures, and objectives of the 16 spy agencies that make up the U.S. intelligence committee. Again, you tell me, is that helpful? For everybody around the world to have that information now. An official said our budgets are classified as they could provide insight for foreign intelligence services to discern our top national priorities, capabilities, and sources and methods that allow us to obtain information to counter threats. The summary provides a detailed look at how the U.S. intelligence community has reconfigured by the massive infusion of resources after 9/11. Obviously, the U.S. has spent more than $500 billion on intelligence during that period, an outlay that U.S. officials say has succeeded in the main objective, preventing another catastrophic terrorist attack in the United States. But anyway,
But it also gave birth to some maybe nefarious things.
Official said today's world is as fluid and unstable as it has been in the past half century. And, obviously with what we're talking about today, that is true. But, even with stepped-up spending on the ICO over the past decade, the U.S. Currently spends less than 1% of the GDP on the intelligence community. But,
exactly. Where does the money all go to? It all goes to weapons manufacturers. It all goes to building more weapons for the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the world's largest arms exporters.
Right.
And Bill Moyers had a thing back in the 80s called the shadow government, which is a lot of what this is about.
Yeah,
obviously, you can't read this whole thing. You can go read this whole thing in the Washington Post. But, tell me if you think this is helpful that it's in the Washington Post. A section on North Korea indicates the U.S. has all but surrounded the nuclear-armed country with surveillance platforms. platforms. There are distant ground sensors to monitor seismic activity, scan the country for signs that might point to...
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
but now they know this, too, is my point.
I mean,
in Iran, new surveillance...
They
knew that. They have their own intelligence service.
Let me finish what it says. In Iran, new surveillance techniques and technologies have enabled analysts to identify suspected nuclear sites that had not been detected in satellite images. Some of this stuff they didn't know the exact... in Syria, hello, think that's relevant right now? NSA listening posts were able to monitor unencrypted communications among senior military officials at the outset of the Civil War. They're a vulnerability that Assad's forces apparently later recognized. One of their functions is to track data from sensors placed on the ground near suspected illicit weapon sites in Syria and other countries. I'm just saying this was not helpful, that all of this information is out here. The agency's ability to monitor the communications of al-Qaeda operatives is described in the documents as often the best and only means to compromise seemingly intractable targets. Signals intercept has also been used to direct the flight paths of drones, gather clues to composition of North Korea's leadership, evaluate the response plans of Russia's government in the event of a terrorist attack in Moscow. I mean, all stuff that's relevant right now, right? The NSA is planning high-risk covert missions, a lesser-known part of its work, to plant what it calls tailored radio frequency solutions, close-in sensors to intercept communications that do not pass through global networks. And I'm just saying, a lot of this information, as I was quoting this official in here, is very helpful to people that do not have the United States' interests at heart.
Well, right? Of course, but also let's give Snowden credit for proving that our leaders have been lying to us.
Yes, exactly.
And
I don't give him credit.
Snowden,
I don't give him credit.
Which is why
for anything.
I said we should have had more whistleblowers during the Bush administration to expose the lies they were telling about Iraq.
Well, and we did, but they all got shut up pretty quick, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how it is. And we found out last week, you know, first they said none of your telephone calls have been recorded at all, although I've had some leakers tell me that there is, you know, in Utah, every cell phone call ever made is digitally stored. And then, of course, what happens? We find out last week from NSA, oh, yeah, we accidentally recorded all your phone calls for a couple of years. Our bad.
We have to post a great piece by David Stone in the Daily Banter that just refutes everything you just said. let's post that. Ironically, the end of the Washington Post piece says the budget promised a renewed focus on safeguarding classified networks and a strict review of high-risk, high-gain applicants and contractors, the young non-traditional computer coders with the skills the NSA needed, like among them, Snowden, the specialist who'd been trained by the NSA to circumvent computer network security. NSA will initiate a minimum of 4,000 periodic reinvestigations of potential insider compromise of sensitive information, which unfortunately came too late for all of this stuff that I think is going to be very damaging, John, to the United States. And, he is no hero. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Pushing it with Fridays with Fugelsang.
Compared to Miley Cyrus, that song sounds like Layla today. You know what I mean?
I love this. I love Push It.
It's a great song.
By
the way,
we take a break from World War III to bring you the news that the inventor of the foam finger does not like what Miley Cyrus did to it. Steve, I don't know what his name is.
I can't think of a better use for it.
Really? Because the finger had a great time.
Yeah.
Don't speak for me, man.
Steve Klemmer. Right. Invented the foam finger when he was 16.
Oh.
Fast forward 4 decades, and his beloved invention being used by Miley to foam masturbate in front of thousands of shrieking teens at the MTV Video Music Awards. She took an honorable icon that is seen in sporting venues everywhere and degraded it.
Really?
Honorable icon? Honorable icon.
It's a foam finger.
He said, fortunately, the foam finger has been around long enough it will survive this incident. It will survive. It's got all its life.
What's going to happen if she uses the cheesehead hat for that?
Yeah.
Oh, no!
God!
I was so worried about the integrity of the brand.
Everyone in Madison just plots.
Can I just say that
this week alone,
Bashar al-Assad, Robin Thicke, and Miley Cyrus has given us the greatest argument against nepotism since the Bush administration.
Yeah.
That's what they have in common. It's all nepotism.
Angela wants to bring us all together on something we can all agree on again, and that is George Bush is a doofus. Hello, Angela.
Hi.
It was my birthday this week, so I'm calling in to flirt with John.
Hot Virgo, it's mine next week.
Hello. Huh?
Hi. Hi, hello. Hi, Hot Virgo, it's my birthday next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. You and I had a magical moment at DC Sexy Liberal. I'm the chick in the wheelchair that you met.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very special for me, so thank you.
Well, thank you for coming. It was a great show.
Yes.
It was a really fun meet and greet, too. It was really a riot. Thanks for being there.
But you saw George W. on Fox News this morning?
I saw a clip. Fox News never graces my television, so I saw a clip on Morning Blow this morning. So they're,
interesting, he recovered so quickly when he couldn't make the Martin Luther King thing 2 days ago. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you missed the kicker. You missed the kicker. The kicker is Kilmeade, Bush, and some other guy, they were all wearing matching red golf shirts.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Okay?
That was a summit.
Ew.
And it's like I looked and I said, you know, what the hell is this doing on my television?
Yeah. I think his face is helpful right now when deciding about a Middle East situation.
Hands of a shatter.
And again, I've
Commander
I've said this
guy
before,
again.
But don't feel bad watching Fox News until you get so angry your heart rate goes up does count as cardio.
Don't
feel bad about that.
There you go.
But yeah, it's a lot closer to. I think we keep talking about Iraq, and it's much closer to Rwanda in terms of what that dynamic represents.
Well, David Cameron came out and said the well of public opinion obviously has been poisoned by the Iraq spectacle, both there, here, around the world. The Labour Party leader yesterday in Parliament.
The question facing this House is what, if any, military action we should take, and what criteria should determine that decision.
The Bush administration had asked those questions. Yeah.
The irony here is that look, the people, the neocons who are opposed to this now, so then they can call Obama weak in a month. I like how people who really crave troops on the ground with no evidence of WMDs now oppose having airstrikes when there is evidence of WMDs. In other words, liberals who were against the war last time are allowed to criticize this. Neocons aren't allowed to play dumb now.
You are allowed to shut your pie hole. Dan in Atlanta says John was great on the Ed Show. Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, John, big fan, man, big fan.
Hi, thank you.
And I wanted to sidetrack for a second here. I did want to get something in about Syria too, and just I don't know if you had a chance, Stephanie, if you saw John's appearance on the Ed Show.
No, when were you on, John?
I've done it a couple times, and I'll be on tonight at 5:00.
I'll be on tonight
on
too.
You're on Ed Show tonight?
What time are you on?
I don't know. I'm on talking about healthcare.
Are you on?
I'll see you on Ed tonight.
What I'm on at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific.
I love it.
Awesome. Go ahead.
Awesome. It was the one where John was on there. Yeah, talking with the guy from the Family Research Council about Obamacare.
Oh,
and
man.
What I found right, yeah, it quickly comes back. What I found fascinating was here's this doofus from the Family Research Council talking about how Obamacare is going to kill people. Okay, and there's our man John. When Ed would go to John, both times that Ed went to him would quote stuff from the Bible talking about how Jesus would certainly approve of something like this and what our duty is to take care of each other. And yet the guy from the Family Research Council basically the so-called Christian, right, completely glosses over it and doesn't even acknowledge that John even mentioned that.
They have two big arguments for it. They have two big arguments. Number one, they'll try and say it's communist or socialist, which is a lie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Forcing people to buy a private insurance company's products is pretty much as far away from socialism as you can get.
Yeah, you best be bringing it if you're on with the ecclesiastical mook.
Yeah, and the other argument they use, and this is the most common argument you will hear right-wing Christians make against helping those in need, okay? They're always going to say the same thing, and this is the most important point to ever know when you're dealing with a right-wing Christian. What they'll always say is, Jesus told me to help the poor and the sick. He didn't say big government should pick my pocket to do it. Didn't say the government should take my money out. And this is the big lie of these guys. See, they say they want a government based on Christian values. If we had a government based on Christian values, we'd take care of the sick, we'd take care of the poor, mm-hmm. we'd be nice to those in prison, Matthew 25, and we wouldn't go starting wars anywhere. And it's more or less like these people think that they get to walk into a ballot box and ignore all of Jesus' teachings, because they don't want a government based on Christian values. They want a selfish, mean government, and then boast in their private life how Christian they are.
They want Rambo of Nazareth.
Not this week, Jim.
They want kick-ass Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
Who insisted on performing despite being ineligible for a kindergarten talent show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. John, I just got bumped from Ed.
What?
Pardon me?
Nope.
What's happening? Ah. Okay. yeah, because of Syria, I got bumped from the Ed Show tonight, so I don't know if you're still on, but hopefully.
Maybe not. I guess
I
not.
Just got an email. I will be on CNN, as far as I know, on Aaron Burnett. But, yeah, there's obviously a lot of, shall we say, fast-moving events.
Yes. Well, I may not be on the Ed Show this evening at 5 p.m. then.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Anyway, so we've been talking about, obviously, a lot of debates that, John, we were talking about earlier, like, are not falling on necessarily liberal-conservative lines. You know, they're saying the people in the – interesting, too, John, the people in the administration – it's the women that are urging this Syria thing, Samantha Power, Susan Rice – and it's, Martin Dempsey, the Joint Chiefs staff that is that's against it. I mean, it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not falling on even predictable lines necessarily.
Well, and again, a lot of it's not just Iraq. I think a lot of people are very weary. America has a very, very long history in the Middle East of following this ethos that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yeah. And that's how we got Osama bin Laden. That's how we helped create Saddam Hussein. Yeah. We keep getting in bed with the wrong people. We're like Britney Spears with a flag. And what we're looking at here is, of course, these guys that McCain was palling around with, a lot of them are criminals. A lot of them are Al-Qaeda. That one guy was identified as a Libyan kidnapper. So, it's good to exercise caution before you realize that if you get rid of this thug Assad and he's a horrible mass murdering dictator thug, what's going to be there in his place?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, and we've obviously had the debate on drones, and clearly a lot of people think drones are better than George Bush's Iraq invasion, for instance. Guess what a drone is doing now, John? A drone could save Yosemite.
Wow.
Firefighters battling the fire currently ripping through California's National Park have a new ally, unmanned eyes in the sky. They're using unmanned aircraft to fight the 12-day-old Rim fire. This is, by the way, this is considered the seventh largest wildfire in California history.
Wow.
The fire captain said it sees what the fire is doing. It's instantaneous, and they can get an immediate idea where the fire is and where it's threatening. It's the first time that a drone has been used to help battle a wildfire. This is our initial foray. We hope it becomes part of our regular effort. It's a game changer. It has a huge domestic capability to respond to disasters. With its cutting-edge imagery, the drone's eyes are more powerful than any others. It can zoom in on burning embers or on a tree that has been hit by lightning. If there's a lightning strike, we can tell if it's intense enough to start another fire. And this is important after the tragedy we just had. If firefighters are in danger, it can also provide them with the best escape routes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Which is what those guys didn't have.
So these are drones that shouldn't be equipped with Hellfire missiles.
No,
they're not.
No.
Because that would start another fire.
I just think we should all have one.
This is Crazy Dave with this week's crazy specials at Drone City. It's the greatest drone sale ever. General Atomics, Scaled Composites, Lockheed Martin. We have all your favorite unmanned aerial vehicles under one roof. Look at this. Autonomous recon drones. No background check required. $49.95. Remotely piloted vehicles. Ground control station included from just $89.95. Crazy. Come on down. Free hot dogs and free balloons for the kids.
My dad got me this Predator MQ-1 attack drone with AGM Hellfire missiles. And help me set it up.
That's awesome.
Forget Iraqi freedom. It's Operation Fun for the whole family at Drone City. Remember, the FAA says that by 2015 there should be over 7,500 drones in the air over America. Make sure one of them is yours. Just grab the controls, and before they know it, you've got a bird's eye view of your neighbors.
Get out of here, you big perv.
Maximize your control over any situation with minimal risk and minimal collateral damage. Get it all on sale now at Crazy Day. Greatest drone sale ever. Remember, we will not be undersold. We cannot be undersold. We will never be undersold. And we beat it. Crazy Dave Drone City. Our prices and our product are insane.
When you're in a group or all alone, everything's better when you have your own Drone City.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. all right. Let's go to Matt in San Francisco. You're on with John. Hello, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Can I start with firing Chris?
Firing Chris?
Firing
Chris?
What has Chris done?
He's the only one worth listening to.
I'm the one that had the online stalking campaign. What kind of person that is in charge of your news takes 6 months to realize they're being online stalked?
Oh, I see. All right. Thanks. Well, whatever.
I hate to agree with Jim, but the information from that email came from the New York Times and the Russian newspaper Pravda.
Mm-hmm.
Pravda talked about the billions of dollars in loan forgiveness, and the New York Times talked about the 30,000 Russian citizens and the military base.
Okay, see? So what you go? Now we know the sources of that. Oh, that email.
So Jim's information, while I think that Jim is conspiracy nut, is accurate in this one.
Okay. I'm not sure that was complimentary to anybody here.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Let's go to Lawrence in St. Paul.
I feel so dirty and cleansed. Thank
Yikes.
You.
Lawrence in St. Paul, you're on with John. Hello, Lawrence.
Hey, how you doing? You know what? I've been listening to your show for 5 years, and it is still as fresh and as funny as the day I listened to it.
Thank you for not questioning my freshness. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Hey, but I want to say something about Obama here, and I want to use an analogy. Obama's presidency thus far, including this Syria issue, is analogous to him as a nerd, and the jocks are the GOP. Mm. And they're always trying to force him to do stuff. And now Obama has been forced to get up on a cliff. And now the GOP, which are the bullies and they are the jocks, are saying, jump over the cliff. So now Obama...
Come on, Urkel, go!
Yeah, instead of using logic, he said, okay, I'm going to draw this red line so the jocks will like me. Look, Mr. President Obama, the GOP will never like you. Quit trying to appease those guys. And now he's gotten himself into a situation where he can't say, okay, this is stupid. I'm not jumping off of this cliff. I'm going to turn around and explore all of my options with regards to Syria. So he hasn't explored all of his options. He just wants to jump over this line so he can continue to try to impress the jocks.
Mm. Yeah, hard to know. John Kerry will give a press conference at 9:30 Pacific today, mm-hmm. John. So I guess we will, and we will see if they're supposed to, release declassified the intelligence today, or release a declassified version of it on Syria. So we'll, obviously we'll know more in a couple of hours.
I don't think this is going to be happening. This president does have his eye on his place in history. He does read the polls and he knows all the dynamics. The only problem is the GOP is going to beat him up no matter what he does. And that's why they're waiting to see what he's going to do before they declare what he should have done.
Right. And what do they do, John, politically when, they have always been the pro-war party, right? And they look at the same approval rating, 60%. Against 9% for intervening in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Obama wants to follow the George W. Bush playbook and respond to the violence in Syria by invading Cleveland.
Right, there you go. There, Tom in New Mexico. Hey, Tom, you're on with John.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing? Hi, John.
Hi.
John, I agree with you. I think that the president did inadvertently paint himself into a corner with that off-the-cuff comment about the red line. But I think that what happened in Great Britain yesterday offers him an out. He can
I think
go on
you're right.
TV. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is, I still believe very strongly this is the proper course of action. But I think that the Congress, the representatives of the people, need to have some skin in the game. Call them back from their vacations and say, have a debate, no filibustering, debate this whole thing, and then you take a vote and authorize me to take action. And then we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Let's go to Virginia and Alabama. You're on with John. Hello, Virginia.
Hello.
Hello.
I completely disagree with your last caller, but the caller before that who made the nerd jock analogy.
Right.
I completely just disagree with that. Number one, although I do care about the humanitarian efforts, but there's a lot going on everywhere. So there's a lot going on in the southern regions of Africa as well.
Exactly.
So what are we going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. Although, Virginia, I do agree with the jock analogy as it relates to John McCain, because, apparently no war is macho enough for him. You know what I mean? It's just, when Martin Dempsey, the general of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, wrote this letter talking about the complications of doing this, he basically just called him a puss. I do think there is some of that. John, he represents that bluster that got us into Iraq, right?
I agree, and there have been times in the administration where I felt it's more analogous to the president reminding me of me in junior high when I would give my money to the bully so he'd like me more.
the one that threw gum in your hair and called you the F-word for gay man?
Exactly. This president is bent over backwards to appease the GOP so many times, and they don't respect him for it when they get their own way. So, you know, he's got to ignore everything they say because they're going to just try and smear him as weak no matter what he does on this issue.
Take it from me, someone who's had gum thrown in his hair and called the F-word for gay man in school. Peanut butter. If you rub peanut butter on the gum, it gets right.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Happened to me.
Yep.
Thank you, Heloise.
No problem.
But the sad thing
John
is, again,
John has a lot more hair to get gum stuck in than you do.
Oh, I had longer hair in school.
You know, we covered this show extensively on Viewpoint on the late lamented Current TV, and we did a lot of segments on the refugee crisis, which American media has really, really ignored. How over a million people have had to flee Syria. They're living in camps, most of them children. It's incredibly horrible what's been going on for over a year, and our media doesn't like it. Maybe if Miley Cyrus twerked Syrian refugee camps, our media would pay attention to it.
I suggested that yesterday. I suggested sending her with the giant foam finger.
The bad guy here, and again, I had some crazy troll lady on Twitter yesterday saying Obama's starting World War III, and I'm like, okay, so wait, so Putin and Assad get no share of the blame, and I can't say enough, the bad guy here is Vladimir Putin. One phone call from this guy
which
could
is
get
why
a ceasefire.
This
one
is a
phone
good,
call.
This is a good prank. Do we have some comedy prank music?
Okay.
Russian police raided an avant-garde gallery late Monday and seized four paintings that satirized the country's conservative rulers, including a portrait of President Vladimir Putin wearing a pink and white slip. Russia bans insulting representatives of authority.
Oh, that's so Russian.
That's the bastion of freedom that Edward Snowden went to. Mm-hmm. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, he's Putin in a dress.
A slip.
Pink slip. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour.
Pitchy strippers.
Yeah, right. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. I got it.
Yeah.
She's everybody at the VMAs, John, were pitchy strippers.
Yes.
John Fugel.
Kelly Clarkson would know that because she has the artistic bona fides from becoming a pop star through a game show.
But she is a good singer.
She is a good singer.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
I love it. I'm listen, because I speak behind these hazel eyes, and I love that song so much. Okay. Let's go to Mel.
I think they just need to go all the way and rename the VMAs the Dancing on Rocks Grave Award. Just, you know.
Hello, Mel in St. Paul. You're on with John. Hi, Mel. Hello, Mel. Mel is going once, twice, and now he's gone. Trisha in Illinois. Hey, Trish.
Hi, Stephanie. Love your show.
Thank you.
But my comment is the fact that I don't know how America can be the policemen of the world when we are in bed with communist China. We have thousands of factories over there, mm-hmm. and it is communist. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop calling it China. It's communist China.
Yep.
But when
not
we make
really.
Money,
well, they're not really anymore now.
Yeah, yes.
They're totalitarian, but they're also capitalist.
They're very capitalist.
They're behind Bob Wire working. They're behind Bob Wire.
I think you want to say totalitarian instead of communist.
Yeah.
I think Jim is right.
Go ahead, Trish. Well, sorry.
Either way, every day they have riots in China, small riots in different areas. They kill those people, they go after them. There's nothing in the news because why? America's involved with them. Same thing in North Korea. Look at what they're doing there. We can't pick and choose where we want to get involved. We need to stay out of these people's business and worry about what we do to our own in this country than doing what we're doing.
One alarming thing about China is that they built a lot of the computer chips that go into our airplanes and missiles and whatnot.
Rips.
If they built like a kill switch in there where they could just make them drop out of the sky with a flick of a switch, that could be a problem.
Gee, I'm really glad Snowden gave him all that stuff. Uh-huh.
No,
Tony in
it.
L.A. Hi, Tony. You're on
you're
the Stephanie
Miller Show.
You're
just the world into heroes. Yeah.
Listen, if you want to feel better, just know that Snowden has to spend the rest of his life eating Russian food.
That's true.
Ew. Well, okay.
This is dedicated to Jim Ward and John Fugel saying, since the mega dump from Snowden and Chelsea to China and Russia have permanently crippled United States national defense.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You just crammed a lot of generalizations into one little smear, my friend.
Let him talk. Go ahead.
Wait, well, hold on, John. You're my brother. You're my brother. I'm with you. Now, since 9/11, we have two ways to fight. We have the Bush-Cheney crime family way of war, or the NSA gathering of intelligence to stop attacks. But Snowden and Chelsea laid out all this stuff to China and Russia. And now you have this mishigash over in this mosh pit of jihad in Syria. It's game over, man. It's over.
Mosh pit of jihad. I love that.
Wow.
That's
right. That's
game over, man. Game over.
Well, you got to say, John, please.
Well,
go ahead, John.
First off, I don't know that they crippled us.
No.
Okay? I don't know that they crippled us. I think America's not exactly hobbling along. What?
Look at Barack. Barack's hands are tied.
His hands aren't tied because of what...
Look at what happened to England, John.
But his hands aren't tied because of what Manning and Snowden did.
Well, speaking of England, Tony, this is what I was...
Wait a second, how do you...
Wait. Tony, this is what I was just reading about, speaking of this whole, like, oh, you know, this poor innocent spouse was detained. Glenn Greenwald's partner, David Miranda, was carrying a stunning amount of government documents when he was detained by British authorities. A UK national security advisor said Friday some of those 58,000 documents were extremely sensitive to national security. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Fugelsang, can you debate against that?
Against what?
That all that WikiLeaks stuff and Snowden dumping all that stuff, he's hiding in Russia. And look, Russia and China says, okay, we got you now. We're going to veto any action, any intervention we are going to veto. And the MP smashed Cameron yesterday.
I don't understand what you're debating me on. You're kind of all over. What specifically are you taking issue with me that I've said?
You were praising Snowden and Chelsea.
Look,
for
stop.
Everybody know every wonderful thing about us.
No,
but now who
so,
has
Mr.
China
what I said was,
Russia?
Mr.
Thank
what
you.
I said was, what I said was,
thank you, Tony.
That these guys revealed American war crimes.
Yes.
The war criminals are going free, and these people are going to
jail. Exactly.
And in the case of Manning, if Chelsea Manning had chosen to be a bit more judicious in the documents that she released, like just say the murder of those Iraqi civilians by the Apache helicopters, I think then there'd be a much stronger case. But she was given hard time. She's going to do hard time. And the case of Snowden, you know, Dr. King and Rosa Parks did their time in jail. If Snowden was a principal whistleblower,
thank you,
he would have shown up and done his time.
By the way, so the piece we posted, John, on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook, mm-hmm, from the Daily Banter by David Stone, some really interesting. I can't obviously go through all of it, John, but I agree with him. He said the steady drip of recent revelations about the NSA has some liberals in a panic. The Republic is in peril, they warn. The faux progressive occupying the White House is a snake, says Oliver Stone. Worse than Bush, insists Glenn Greenwald and his worshipper followers. The U.S. is no longer a functioning democracy, declares Jimmy Carter. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. To paraphrase Jay-Z, I've got 99 problems. The NSA ain't one. Well, not a very big one, but it is a distraction, a troubling one. For 2.5 months now, it seems the left has been talking about little else other than Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald. And anyway, he just goes through all of the stuff that we care about and should be fighting for as progressives. The official unemployment rate still at 7.5%. Republicans have refused to allow even a vote on any of the president's jobs initiative, the increase in minimum wage that we're debating now. GOP's war on women continues unabated.
The drug war continues.
The Supreme Court just gutted the Voting Rights Act, so the
public
Texas, North Carolina, blah, blah, blah. Exactly. He talks about Trayvon Martin tragedy, racial profiling, stop and frisk. Immigration reform stalled in the House. Senate Republicans gave Sandy Hook parents the finger, sided with blah, blah, blah. If this weren't enough, Republicans in the House and Senate remained determined to defund the Affordable Care Act. He just says, I'm sorry, but compared to these issues, each of which directly affects the lives of millions or tens of millions of Americans, the NSA quote-unquote scandal tastes a little like white wine to me. W-H-I-N-E.
Well.
Call me cavalier or callous or worse. Maybe, but from what I gather from reading The Guardian and other papers, the NSA quote-unquote scandal involves the daily collection storage of metadata about Americans. The NSA can't actually tap an American's phone without an individualized warrant.
That's not true.
NSA analysts don't ever look at more than a tiny fraction of the metadata that the agency records. They couldn't if they wanted to. With billions
that
of
is,
such
well,
records, it's
now.
Mathematically impossible.
That's
the agency.
Changed now.
That is true.
Okay,
yeah.
The agency also isn't allowed to... I'll get to that in a second. The agency also isn't allowed to deliberately target an American for internet or email surveillance without a warrant, but the NSA can and does sometimes inadvertently or incidentally conduct collect Americans' communications as a byproduct of the surveillance directed at
foreigners.
Wait,
inadvertently collects Americans'
communications. Don't! I finally collected phone records.
Hang on, he gets to the story. Sometimes the NSA screws up. According to the report by the NSA's Inspector General, there were, the, you know, 2,700 and blah, 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 violations of rules and statutory requirements. The vast majority of these incidents involved roamers, foreign intelligence, foreign surveillance targets who brought their phones into the USA, blah, blah, blah. The NSA may be the biggest electronic hoarder in history, but the likelihood that an NSA analyst has actually listened to your phone calls or your emails is infinitesimally small. Unless you've been in contact with overseas militants on the agency's watch list, the agency has neither the time nor the reason to pursue the mundane.
Not since the Utah Center went online.
Anyway, but he puts it in historical perspective of when this was used, John, as a political... This is not how the Obama administration is using it. We'll continue with what John Peeble saying.
Agreed.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
Please. Look at that Chiron. George W. Bush speaks out on Syria.
Oh.
Hush! Hush! You
shush! That'll fix it.
Shut your pothole. Oy, Chimpy McCokespoon. Okay. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
I apologize to Drinky McDumbass, as Bill Maher used to call him. Okay. Hey, guess who's in New York, everybody? The heavens have opened. Hello, John Peeble saying.
Oh,
he may have stepped out for a phone call for a moment.
That could be.
He will be right back.
We gave him a whole intro,
Sorry. That's all right. Let me go back to reading My Fine American real quick. We posted this just so you can see from the Daily Banter. David Stone is his name.
Yep.
And I just thought he raised some good points, Jim. He just, he is comparing, first of all, speaking of George Bush... face being on the TV, which is why, by the way, Prime Minister David Cameron said yesterday,
the well of public opinion was well and truly poisoned by the Iraq episode, and we need to understand the public skepticism.
Anyway, but again, there is a difference between Bush and Obama, whether you're talking about Iraq and Syria, in terms of intent, in terms of what, you know, again, we have video and pictures, we know this happened. This is not, based on a pack of lies. I still don't think we should go in, even though I understand
not
the humanitarian reasons.
Understand what's going on there.
Right. So I'm not, this is not a, anyway. But I'm just talking about, people have brought up, Snowden as it relates to all this, and Russia and China are not our friends, and you know, it is a dangerous world if you look at everything that's going on. But anyway, he also, Jim, just brings up the Church Committee hearings.
Mm-hmm.
From 56 to 71, the FBI's CounterPro projects targeted political dissidents, anti-war activists, civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., which we've heard a lot about. J. Edgar Hoover's objectives included not only surveillance, but discrediting government critics, disrupting protests, spreading misinformation.
Uh-huh.
Presidents Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Johnson, Nixon all used the FBI and other government intelligence agencies to gather information on political rivals, government officials, and even Supreme Court justices. None of the recent stories about the NSA point to similar abuses by the Obama administration or the kind of malicious intent and targeting of political enemies that earned Nixon his notoriety. Indeed, the closest thing is this story we heard last week, the NSA analysts who abused their power, spying on girlfriends and the like, multiple times. It turns out multiple times means a dozen times over 10 years. What's more, the perpetrators were caught and disciplined. That's actually a pretty good record for an organization with tens of thousands of employees. It certainly isn't one that makes me fearful of the government eavesdropping every time I send an email or dial a number on my cell phone. And then he just says, by way of comparison, he's talking about the stop and frisk, John, where you are in New York. They stopped and frisked 4.4 million people between January and June of 2012. Of course, the overwhelming majority black and Hispanic, they haven't garnered, that hasn't garnered anywhere near the attention or outrage devoted to the NSA, yet they represent a very real and tangible infringement of Americans' rights. That's not to say, and this is the part where, again, this is the conversation, John, we were saying we've been having. That's not to say the NSA overreach doesn't pose a potential threat to our constitutional rights. By all means, progressives should support reform. Let's publish the opinions of the FISA courts. Let's, as Obama has proposed, appoint an advocate to argue against NSA and FBI requests to the FISA courts for surveillance orders. Let's make the NSA justify the bulk collection of telephone metadata. Explain why limiting collection to the records of individuals tied to terror investigations won't keep us safe. If it can't, let's impose those limits. Let's strengthen the rules regarding the destruction or minimization of information about Americans collected during the collection of foreign intelligence. Here comes the fine American part. But if you're a progressive and you're consumed by the NSA story, if it has become the only or even the primary issue holding your attention, or if Obama's complicity in maintaining a surveillance network he inherited and has taken small but meaningful steps to rein in makes you unwilling to support his efforts to create jobs, to protect women's rights, to promote marriage equality, to health care reform, to control guns, or to protect voting rights, then guess what? You're probably not really a progressive at all. Progressives are not libertarians. We don't fear or despise government. We see it as a tool for good, at least in the right hands. We should support intelligence reform, but leave the paranoia and the obsessing to the Ron Paul crowd. We have too much work to do trying to improve people's lives, or at least keeping them from getting worse to get bogged down by this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll
David
see.
Stone in the
shorthand, you have no privacy. Now let's make the country better.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, we have no privacy.
Of that entire piece. There was a lot of really thoughtful points in there.
Of course. But I get that. I mean, Facebook proves you have no privacy. So get over that. Don't put anything on the web you don't want people to know.
Right.
And let's work on the issues that really matter. And I do think Obama cares a lot about his place in history. And I think he's going to try very hard to reform the system over the next 3 years.
One of the things, right, that he just mentioned, marriage equality, John, as you know, this is a really big deal. First of all, this president has done more than every president combined on gay rights. This is a huge deal. Same-sex married couples to get federal tax recognition regardless of state.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge move forward.
Awesome.
It really is. The U.S. Department of the Treasury announced Thursday when it comes to taxes, it will recognize same-sex couples' marriages even if they live in a state that does not. This has the feeling of the dam breaking. Don't you think, John, on marriage equality?
Yeah. I mean, this is just so audacious. This is such a slap in the face of the Rick Perrys and the bigots of the country.
Yeah.
It's really positive.
The decision, of course, prompted by the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling to overturn a Defense of Marriage Act, marks the latest political progress, because that was the question. Remember when we asked right after that, what about same-sex married couples who move to a state that don't recognize their marriage? A couple married in Massachusetts who moves to Arkansas, for example. Thursday's ruling by the Treasury Secretary provides a uniform policy for the IRS. The state of celebration where the wedding took place now trumps the state of residency when it comes to federal tax status. So, that, you know, again, I think, you know, the dam is going to break, and it is exciting. By the way, out here.
And it gives the Tea Party one more reason to hate the IRS.
Yes.
out here in California, U.S. Appeals Court upholds California ban on gay conversion therapy. Another victory. California's ban on the controversial therapy aimed at reversing homosexuality in children was upheld by a federal appeals court that dismissed opponents of the measure who contended it violated free speech and parental rights. California has authority to prohibit licensed mental health providers from administering therapies the legislature has deemed harmful. The judge ruled. By the way, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie signed a similar measure, but then he had to sign a bill that you can have guns that shoot planes down, so people didn't think he's gay.
Yeah.
He didn't want to seem too gay.
Let me tell you, Chris Christie, what a hero he is. What a moderate Chris Christie is, that he banned reparative gay therapy for all those gays he don't think deserve the right to marry. What a progressive guy.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. What's Marcus Bachman going to do if you get rid of gay reparative therapy? You gays are barbarians and need discipline, and I'm going to suck the gay out of you. Let it come unto me.
Yes, right.
I'm going to hit you with a tennis racket.
Wayne and
take me, demon. Take me.
Wayne in Spokane, you're on with John. Hey, Wayne.
Guten Morgen, schönes Weißmädchen.
Guten Morgen.
So, you know, living here in East Germany of the 1970s, wait, am I in America? Did I go back in time? Yeah. Hey, Jim, does NSA, does that stand for Neue Stasi Amerikanisch?
Yeah.
Oh,
Neue Stasi Amerikanisch.
All right. Oh, okay. Right. Mel in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mel.
Good morning. The comment I want to bring out is I think that Barack Obama, President Obama, is the smartest boy in class, because I think he's trying to lead the Republicans you know, into a leadership role. He's calling he's pushing everybody to the brink, hoping that the Republicans will kind of step up to the plate too. And like John Boehner, he can call Congress into session rather than being on this stupid bus tour trying to raise money. I think Obama is just trying to bring in the leadership into statesmanship to say, okay, here's my point. I'm going to push it forward on an individual basis, hoping that the Republicans will step up to the plate and get his drift that we need to lead. And Britain proved the point yesterday.
Somebody said it, though, yesterday. They watched the whole parliament thing, and they said, wow, I'm watching democracy. What if we had that here,
where we had
people that were all interested in America's interests and not what makes President Obama look bad, right?
You've got a Speaker of the House who is a slave to the fringe of his own party, and now that they're calling the Affordable Care Act Boehner Care, you think he's going to be able to lead at all? He's going to be groveling before his own fringe because they're more organized than his own caucus.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a great piece in Salon today that echoes just that, John. A wingnut for everyone. Every fringe group gets a Republican politician.
Right.
And it really is true. She goes to Virginia Attorney General Ken DeCooch.
DeCooch. Cuccinelli.
Mm-hmm. Ken Cuccinelli is pretty much
detested. And if you don't like sodomy, stay away from the Cooch.
Is pretty much detested by women in Virginia. But now the Father's Rights Movement, a small but vocal group of men, basically it's to not pay child support. They say it's for, anyway. Cuccinelli has represented the former leader of a local group in a custody case, blah, blah, blah. Cuccinelli is not specifically openly pro-father's rights, and to be clear, the number one father's rights issue is wanting to pay less child support. His support for their agenda is honestly more about his opposition to legal divorce, something he doesn't talk about much anymore. By the way, and you've made this point, John, on the one hand, banning no-fault divorce is a strange priority for a modern supposed conservative committed rhetorically to lessening the intrusion of the state into private affairs. Mm-hmm. The notion that people ought to be able to associate or dissociate willingly without the interference of the government is supposed to be the core belief of these guys, I thought. But on the other hand, banning divorce does make more sense as a policy priority than preventing gay marriage, for example.
If you're trying to protect marriage, you better fight straight divorce and not gay weddings.
Yeah. She goes on to make the point. It's a truly a golden age for conservative fringe groups. No matter how obscure your pet cause is or wildly reviled, it's now easier than ever to find a Republican politician, often a prominent one, willing to support it. Father's rights, you have Ken Cuccinelli. If you're a neo-Confederate, you have the Paul family. If you're a hardcore gold bug, well, you have the Pauls again.
Yeah.
if you love dog fighting, you have Steve King.
What? He's for dog fighting?
Oh, yeah, that farm bill. Oh, it's awful.
And if shiny things confuse you, you've got Louis Gohmert.
Yeah, a party that can make room in its tent for the pro-dogfighting lobby has room for any white person with a crazy grievance. I mean, that's who they become. Oh, yeah, I got a letter from every animal rescue group in the country. Oh, it's horrible.
Hey, how can anybody be for dogfighting?
It's just a Southern thing, according to Whoopi Goldberg.
It made Michael Dick
even more famous.
It's a fun thing for the kids.
Can I read you a quote from Teddy Roosevelt? It's 100 years old this year. Of course, 100 years last year is when he quit the Republican Party to run for president as a progressive.
Yeah.
There was once a time in history when the limitation of governmental power meant increasing liberty for the people. In the present day, the limitation of governmental power means the enslavement of the people by the great corporations. Uh-huh. Teddy Roosevelt, 100 years ago, calling out the Tea Party's anti-government rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
We want to stop and frisk for Wall Street criminals. That's what we would like.
Exactly right. That's where the real crime is, and most of the coke, too.
You'd have to frisk Switzerland.
And the Caymans.
Yeah.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Living the dream. 23 minutes after the hour. Friday's with Tom Fuglesang, the ecclesiastical MOOC, my personal comedy Jesus. This is just, I am reading. Yeah. Right. Yes. Hello. Hello, Comedy Jesus.
Good morning, my child.
Yes. This is just, I'm reading more and more on the this decision yesterday about all legally wed gay couples, no matter what state they live in, entitled to the same U.S. federal tax benefits. And what a huge, this is huge, Jim.
Huge.
An expert said states that ban same-sex couples from marrying will nonetheless have to deal with them directly, with married same-sex couples living in their states come tax time, putting pressure on executive officials, lawmakers, and courts to address the issue whether they want to or not.
The irony of all of this is there's a lot of married people who would love it if gay marriage destroyed their own.
The IRS decision will not only force non-gay marriage states to figure out a way to align their tax policies with federal returns, it will also apply new public pressure on civil union states to move toward recognizing same-sex marriage. Barring that, there will inevitably be more litigation. Expect the Supreme Court going forward will need to revisit these issues in the next 2 to 4 years, said one expert. Thursday's decision will be an additional force moving things in the right direction. I love this. One of the opponents, I don't know which one, doesn't matter, said, "We are now a judicial hop, skip, and a jump away from the Supreme Court decision mandating compulsory sodomy."
Oh, yeah. Do you homophobes take Adam Lambert to be your mandatory husband?
Compulsory sodomy?
Mandatory sodomy.
That costs
There's
more.
A lot of women in straight marriages going, "What? Wait a minute. I have to? What if I don't like it?"
Yeah, it also helps when you don't understand what the word sodomy means.
Right.
Because that Bible story has nothing to do with that particular lovely act.
Exactly. Personal comedy. Jesus. Lee in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lee.
Hi. In one of your recent Romney-style gish gallops,
Thank you.
Oh, you're a gym guy. Go ahead.
You had the nerve to complain that so-called liberals are distracting.
Somebody tells me every day I'm not a real liberal. So guess what? Put it in your pipe and smoke on it. I am a real liberal.
Russia, you say Snowden. Somebody mentions Putin, you say Snowden. Somebody mentions China, you say Snowden. You are the one distracting from the real issues.
Are you saying it's like Herb Benghazi?
Yes. Bringing up Snowden and distracting from the abuses that have happened under the NSA.
Uh-huh.
Have you forgotten that the president used the NSA to help Bloomberg?
He used it just like Nixon, didn't he?
Hang on. Occupy protests.
But, mister, you'd agree that the media in general fixated on Manning and Snowden and didn't fixate on the actual war crimes that they revealed, right?
Right.
I heard a lot more about Manning than I heard about the Apache helicopter.
Yeah. So, Jim, you're saying I'm not a real liberal?
Well,
so you agree that me and Hal Sparks and Melissa Fitzgerald and Randy Rhodes were all neocons?
I'm saying that you think people are villains or heroes and there's nothing in between.
I didn't say
it's
that.
Authoritarian mindset.
I didn't say that. I have Charlie Pierce on every week. When I disagree with something, you go, "Oh, Charlie's an idiot now." No. Did I ever say that? No. It's like, "Oh, you hate Alan Grayson now." Of course I don't. I love Alan Grayson. We're human beings. We may disagree on some issues, but it's
I don't think there's a lot of black and white.
This is what I hate, is people going, "You're not a real liberal."
There's very little black and white when it comes to the NSA issues, so it's really hard to say what side are you on when there's a lot of dynamic. It's like Syria. It's not a simple cut and dry thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It ain't.
Exactly. You've got people that you would consider liberals, right? That historically, I mean, that's what everybody talks about is John Kerry's testimony. You know, it's hard to be more anti-war than John Kerry was, and yet he's the one that's primarily been pushing for this.
But here's the
big
dishonest thing. They're not calling
for
war.
Other people, they're calling liberal interventionists. No, exactly. They're not calling
for any kind of war.
They're not calling
for any kind of ground troops. They're calling for strikes on systems that would help
launch chemical
attacks.
Right.
They're not talking about actually killing anybody.
Right.
They're talking about trying to do this because the concern is, and again, I don't want involvement in Syria, but here's the problem Barack Obama and the rest of the world faces. If the world decides it's okay for a man to gas his own people, which Ronald Reagan said was fine when Saddam did it to the Kurds, let's not forget, if the world decides this, what precedent does it set?
Yeah, and all I don't want to end up is with President Ted Cruz is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen, but I wish it would as a comedian.
Hello, and thank you for calling. This is all turning into some kind of bad movie phone. Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. If you know the name of the Republican candidate you'd like to see, President, press 1. If you have been offended by a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 3. You have selected Ted Cruz. If this is correct, press 1. Ted Cruz, rated IQ 80, starts next February. This is the candidate you want. Press 1. Again, you have selected Ted Cruz. If you really want Ted Cruz to be your president, press 1.
Okay, this is Ted Cruz we're talking about, right? If so, press 1. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. Thank you for selecting Ted Cruz. And thank you for using This Is All Turning Into Some Kind of Bad Movie Pose. Stay online to be connected to Air Canada reservation. Air Canada, we'll always be there for you.
I would rather select Flubber. Than
yes.
I'm glad
the Robin Williams version. Yeah.
Ted Cruz has renounced bravely his Canadian citizenship and the socialist health care system that allowed his mother to give him a safe and affordable Canadian
I'm literally not Canadian, eh? I like ZZ Top.
I don't even know what that was all about, that I was part Canadian.
Oops, sorry, I spilled poutine on the Chesterfield, eh?
Just keep in mind, if his mother was from America, but he's born in Canada, he's American. If Barack Obama's mother's American, then he's born in America, he's Kenyan. It's really simple,
people. Simple, people. Pay attention. 29 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Bugle Saying on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Blossoming new comedian,
Stephanie Miller.
Don't blow it. Your material's as tired as your face.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Oh, Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks filling in for us next week. And John, I just talked to Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland, and there will be a... I'll have to call you after the show. You don't even know yet. There's going to be more Sexy Liberal.
Oh,
very
yeah?
Big, very big.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah.
Tush.
You, okay.
Okay. Okay.
You seem very skeptical.
Put a ring on it, baby. Put a ring on it, baby.
You know, just by way of a makeup gift with Jim, we've been fighting a lot about the NSA. I'm going to send you to Zurich for your vacation next week. There is now a sex drive-in open in Zurich.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Finally.
No car, no sex. That's the rule for the experiment Zurich.
Can I get fries
with
that?
Yeah, I want fries with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the special sauce.
Pommes frites.
Teak-colored open wooden garages, popularly called sex boxes.
Hello. Huh?
Will be open.
Well, as long as they're teak-colored. That's what really counts.
Be open for drive-in customers.
All righty then.
All right. Okay, just saying. Let's
go. Team it none,
All right, Jill and Ithaca,
you're
on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Good morning. Even though I love you enough, Stephanie, to have brought you Jetty Cream Ale in Syracuse and danced with you. You remember? And danced with you at the single woman's dance at New York at the Beacon.
Oh, yay.
I have to take Jim's side at the divorce hearings.
Uh-huh.
He's always been my truth seeker. And, it's a big umbrella, though. We will eventually heal this. But in the words of Britney Spears fan there, you're lucky he performs for you, you bastard.
Yes. Oh, I truly am. By the way, John, we were talking about what a big deal the tax ruling on gay marriage is. Interesting, though, this is part of why I hope that this means the dam is breaking, though. It isn't a total win for married gay couples. In states with no gay marriage, same-sex couples will be required to prepare two different sets of returns, one for married couples and one for the single persons for the purposes of preparing the state return.
The state return, yeah.
Yeah, that seems like yet another inequality experienced by gay and lesbian couples. Still not all federal government roses for these couples. Social Security uses place of residence rule and has issued instructions to personnel to deny claims for spousal benefits from same-sex couples living in states where such marriages are not recognized. So there's more and more reason to just come on already, people. Come on.
Yeah, but
it makes sense to have...
It's like Pacino's speech in any given Sunday. This is a game of inches.
And wow, it's not often you hear. I loved Any Given Sunday.
Yeah,
it's also my
name.
Favorite.
Not in our house.
It's my favorite gay porn film title too. But still, it's incremental progress. And you know what? It's so amazing that we live in this time. And again, this is all in 25 years. We've never seen a minority group make such rapid gains in civil rights. And it happened because of a plague. And it made the gay community organize and not wait for politicians to give them their rights. They fought for their rights and got them. It makes me so proud to be an American.
I blame the kids for being insufficiently judgmental.
Well, there's that
too much tolerance going on.
Too much tolerance going on with the kids.
We can't brainwash kids to make them think being gay is normal. We have to brainwash them to despise gay people.
Terry in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Terry. It's always good to talk to my girl before we go into a long holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to comment on this this jawbone of, you know what, we have down here as a senator. Now, for starters, he says that he wants to shut down Obamacare, shut down the government in order to defund Obamacare. That means government workers be laid off and not get paid. Since he's a senator and a government employee, does that mean he's going to sacrifice and give up his paycheck? I'm sure he's not willing to do that to demonstrate his sincerity.
Yes, yeah. Too.
Yeah, of course not. That would make him consistent. Steve in Long Island on Ted Cruz as well. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I think, and I feel we always should call Ted Cruz by his real name, Rafael.
Rafael Cruz.
Because every time a Republican comes up in power, they change their name to their nickname. They never run on their real name like Romney.
Yeah. Willard.
Yeah, Willard. Willard. Well, they could have changed his name to Ben, too.
Yeah.
Pardon me? John, I'm sorry. What?
So Ted Cruz is Mexican-Canadian, is what he's saying.
Oh, man. You know, and it's like Ted Cruz. The greatest thing is that the GOP leadership has realized Ted Cruz doesn't care about the Republican Party at all. He only cares about Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And the dumb
guys
in the
Republicans
Tea Party
hate him.
Love it. They hate him around there because he's such a grandstander. And it's going to blow up in his face someday. But Ted Cruz isn't a complete stooge. He's not a dummy like some of these Republicans. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he's trying to mount a run for the White House. And he's really running like most Republicans who run for president for higher public speaking fees. And that's it.
Yeah.
He's playing all the GOP for suckers.
By the way, Jeff in Iowa writes, Steph, as President Obama's face of the dilemma about Assad's use of chemical weapons in Syria, I have to ask the question I always ask in these situations, what would Reagan do? Fortunately, we don't have to speculate about this because Ronald Reagan faced the exact same situation in 1988 when Saddam Hussein gassed entire villages, killing hundreds if not thousands of ethnic Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
TV news videos of the time showed countless families lying dead in the streets and in their homes. When the entire world condemned Saddam for his horrible atrocity and our allies proposed sanctions against him, President Reagan did nothing. He was silent, refusing to even speak.
He kept on arming them.
Yeah. Exactly.
He kept on arming them, and it was the Democrats. And again, I'm not a Democrat, but it was the Democrats who fought to get Saddam classified as a terrorist, and the Reagan White House wouldn't do it.
He was silent, refusing to even speak a single harsh word against his ally, Saddam Hussein. What's more, Republicans in Congress never criticized Reagan for his inaction. Even John McCain said nothing about President Reagan's refusal to acknowledge the atrocities committed by Saddam. So there you have it, Stephanie. It's clear that President Obama only needs to take his cue from the great Ronald Reagan. There will be no criticism from Republicans and no political...
When President Obama doesn't intervene militarily and the Republicans try to attack him for being weak on this, you clobber them with Reagan, which you should do every day on every issue.
Yes, thank you.
And in other atrocity news, unfortunately, a BBC team inside Syria has witnessed the aftermath of a fresh horrific incident. An incendiary bomb dropped on a school playground in the north of the country, which has left scores of children with napalm-like burns over their bodies.
Yeah,
eyewitnesses describe a jet fighter dropping the device. I wonder if anyone observed markings on that.
It's not comparable to Iraq. It's comparable to Rwanda, and the UN has to lead on this. Yeah. America and Britain can't.
John Kerry is going to speak in about 45 minutes. Yeah. Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. I want to wish you guys have a great vacation.
Thank you.
And I wanted to make sure that Chris was not having nightmares about being stuck in a RV in Branson, Missouri.
I made sure to book a vacation somewhere where I know Stephanie's not going to be. Phoenix in the summertime.
Is there a certain mileage, Chris, that you need?
You did have a brief moment of, I saw the terror in your eyes. You're like, can she make us do that?
No, and that terror
go
was
on
real.
Vacation with us?
That terror was real.
Because, you know, I sometimes invite you to my house, which is more of a threat.
Yes.
That if you don't come.
You're fired.
Exactly.
They're my paid friends, John.
I have those on Facebook and Twitter.
She tries to lure us there with karaoke and pizza.
Is it an invitation or a threat? Who can tell, really?
Karaoke and day-old sushi.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of actual friends of the Stephanie Miller Show, I could not be happier. Valerie Harper apparently is in close to remission.
Yep.
Oh, good.
She could not be nicer. We've had her on, obviously, several times. And she's going to be on the new season of Dancing with the Stars.
Well, it's
awesome
rumored.
It
hasn't been officially announced yet, but it's rumored to be.
Rumored to be. Based on her latest MRI in June, she is beating back the cancer for now. I'd say we're getting pretty close to her remission, said the neuro-oncologist.
Wow.
She's talking to Meredith Vieira in a clip. It defies the odds, he added. She discussed how she's facing the disease using traditional chemotherapy alongside acupuncture and Chinese tea. She did stress there's no cure, and her doctor says the cancer will become resistant to treatment at some point. But, I mean, it's just, that's like a, I'm just so happy for her. So they were saying, you know, they said they gave her 3 months to live. She said, we're now into our 6 months, and there's hope beyond that. And he said, she and her husband said, we're looking at Christmas. And it's just.
Oh, wow.
I love her. She's Rhoda. Okay, oh, and also Dick Van Dyke, speaking of Friends of Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yeah.
He's back on the road after his last car exploded.
That's awesome.
That
he's working as he's Billy Joel's designated driver.
Yes. He is Samuel Jackson in Unbreakable. He is, he told TMZ, outside of being a little crispy around the edges, he's perfectly fine.
Which was very funny.
Second, for the second keep time the ottoman away from him. Keep the ottoman away.
And he said I needed a little PR anyway.
For the second time in his life, he's survived a major car crash. He's magic.
Yes.
He is unbreakable. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he flew a car in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So
right.
He knows what to do.
I was so, last time you said that, I was really nervous. But you did say Chitty.
Yes.
And
did you ever see that movie?
I think long parts of it. I don't remember.
I've
Don
been,
in California.
I've been to Rotenburg up that tower where they filmed some of it.
Ah.
Hello, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning,
good morning.
Luke. How is everybody? Listen,
good.
I just got one conundrum for the right wing.
Oh,
if you vote to shut down the government, how are you going to afford to bomb anybody?
Yeah.
The military
exactly.
is part of
the government.
Yeah, except for that. That'll be nice. They'll just keep the government open to bomb someone. Terrific.
Sure, I'm glad there's all that sequester cash lying around to bomb people.
Exactly. Exactly. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! Branson, here we come! Get the RV fired up!
I'm not.
It's the creaky liberal comedy tour.
I'm not going to Branson with you.
Woo! Speaking of dogs, John, did you see what's happening in New York? The New York Post says liars using phony vests and ID tags to get fake service dogs into posh New York restaurants. Why, I never.
What?
That is. Ow.
They're doing this.
I saw somebody with like a Shih Tzu yesterday, and I'm like, that is not a service dog.
Oh, you know what? I got to be honest. My brother, my kid brother has a husky, and when he lived in New York, he got to get a service dog license for it so he could bring it on the subway with him. Yeah.
That's awful.
That is awful. One dog owner says it's going to ruin it for people that actually need service dog, you bastard. My friend of mine did that, too.
Well,
her dad was a psychiatrist, and she got a fake thing to bring her lab on the plane with her as an emotional support dog.
We did that story about people at Disney World faking that they were handicapped so they could get to the front of the line.
Awful, you
Wait, that's
people.
Wrong now, too?
Oh, John Louise, feudal saying.
What about my emotional support hooker that I bring on the plane with me?
If I could get Max as an emotional, and you guys know for a fact that I need an emotional support dog.
Well, and that's and you need
Max,
a very big one, too, Steph.
Oh, Max would take up like five seats as well. So
you need an emotional support mastodon. So, yeah, you're.
I need an emotional support row. All right. Jim, since I took a go Jim, yay Jim call. Why, someone writes, whistleblower my ass. Snowden impersonated NSA officials. Snowden got documents he didn't have the clearance levels needed to access by impersonating NSA officials with higher clearances.
Yeah, but again, it ain't about Snowden. It ain't about Snowden.
Yeah, it is.
He's the distraction.
Douche.
Douche. He's the hand the magician wants you to look at.
Let's see. Oh, who else? You've made me read another one. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The official fraternity house mom.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nick's mom.
Steph, I agree with you 100%. I love John and Jim, but they're acting very self-important this morning.
Wait a second.
I'm a 63-year-old liberal. Nevertheless, this is a confusing situation. Snowden's a punk, as is Bradley Manning. I'm with the president.
No, it's more complicated than that.
All right.
It's more complicated than that.
All right, take that, Mary.
That's it. Authoritarian mindset I've talked about.
All right,
is he a hero or a villain? There's no gray area.
Yeah, and it's a lot of gray area. I don't know what I said that was. I think the guy deserves to do his time, just like Manning did. You broke the law, you do your time. Whether it was heroic or not, you know, we'll see what the reforms are after you leaked it.
More
but,
importantly,
you know, by Snowden offering to sell, you know, secrets to China in exchange for asylum, it kind of wrecks his credibility.
Thank
Dr.
you.
King didn't leave the country; he went
Thank
and did
you.
His time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. By the way, I was mentioning this piece. Got to get your take on this, John, because it involves your girlfriend.
Which one?
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, but it also, though, is part of this whole fight among liberals. But interesting op-ed. It's by a conservative in the L.A. Times this week, Too Early to Crown Clinton, by Douglas McKinnon. He said that many pundits on the left, even a growing number on the right, are ready to declare Hillary Clinton the next president of the U.S. That's all great, except as the virtually unheard of, little experienced Barack Obama proved in 2007 and 2008, campaign punditry simply doesn't matter. It's the votes that count. He goes on to say no one understands better than the Clintons how hardball politics are practiced. That means they know what's lurking in the wings if Hillary Clinton enters the presidential fight, especially from other Democrats. Anyway, he goes on and makes a point about the mainstream media, which obviously we all, a lot of people did get, you know, lean toward Obama. I mean, everybody on MSNBC, you remember, John?
Of course.
And so he's just talking about, they tend to overwhelmingly side with the more liberal of the candidates, and they often slant their coverage to reflect such bias. Again, this is just his opinion. That doesn't bode well for Hillary Clinton, who's likely to be challenged by more liberal candidates, possibly including Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. Between Clinton and Warren, he writes, the far left of the Democratic Party and many members of the media would probably favor Warren. Already there's a growing, even angry chorus of liberals declaring that Warren should get the nomination over Clinton at any cost. They can't forgive Clinton for her vote in favor of the invasion of Iraq, her embrace of mainstream foreign policy. Clinton knows better than most, in part because of her 2008 experience. Liberal Democratic primary voters, as many as well in the media, can very well become infatuated with a candidate to her political left. Should she enter the fray with hopes of winning the crown? Sure, why not? But she might want to ask Howard Dean, John Kerry, John McCain, and Mitt Romney how their presidential coronations.
Maybe vice president.
That's a very good point.
And
the wild card is that Mrs. Clinton is, again, I don't say it to be mean, she's not a great public speaker. And, if someone comes and challenges her, who knows what could happen? I mean, the media coronated her and Mitt Romney in 2008, and in both cases, the voters took the parties
back. I'm just saying, if we end up with a President Ted Cruz,
you will never, ever have a President Ted Cruz.
President Rand Paul, I tell you what.
You will never have a President Rand Paul. That will never happen.
I'm going to
You will have President Jeb Bush before you have either of those guys.
I think more importantly, John, Liberace's one-time Vegas mansion has sold for $500,000.
I was so worried. Okay.
So cool. Someone is going to sleep tight in there.
Sleep
some baby
tight,
boy.
Baby boy.
That's great.
Some baby boy is going to sleep really tight.
And this casket is waterproof
apparently.
And moisture.
In a completely
could, by the way, if you feel around the top of the door molding, there's still some poppers hidden all over the house.
Oh, precious.
Apparently it was in horrible disrepair,
oh,
too.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Just like Liberace.
Yeah, exactly.
When he took his wig off.
In a completely unrelated story, Tom Cruise...
Oh,
what? What are you insinuating?
In an eye-opening new report, a woman has come forward with a bombshell claim before Cruise wed Katie Holmes, the Church of Scientology allegedly put her through a secret audition to see if she was worthy of being his wife.
Oh.
She went through an audition to be Tom Cruise's bride.
Right.
Yes. And then she signed a 5-year contract, and guess when they split up?
And I guess Katie did the best glassy stare.
Yeah.
Her All right, and next, hi, your name, Katie Holmes.
Her career really hasn't recovered from that.
No.
Well, there is the, well, never mind.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Okay. Clint Eastwood.
She hasn't had any distinguished performances since her marriage ended?
Yeah.
Did she have
Clint Eastwood and his wife have
She was wonderful in the movie Go.
Right. After 17 years of marriage, Clint Eastwood and his second wife, Diana Ruiz, are splitting.
I know what you're thinking.
What are you thinking?
They get married 5 times or only 4.
That's what I was thinking. Or was
Why
he shooting?
I talked to that empty chair.
He was not shooting blanks. We know that he has 7 children.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. So he's a single right wing millionaire in his 80s. Him and Murdoch can go out on the town.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
what?
Here's something I'm looking forward to. The attorney for Roger Ailes' former right hand man, the guy who fired.
Yeah.
Did he have a left hand man?
He said, no, obviously not.
He's a punching
Everyone
bag
at Fox
face.
Only has a right hand man.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. His lawyer
go
says.
Go smack Juan Williams for me.
His lawyer says Roger Ailes and Fox have a lot to fear.
Oh.
Brian Lewis, formerly the right hand man of Roger Ailes, has hired a big lawyer, a big time lawyer, and could be preparing for a bold action. He was fired from Fox News earlier this month. And
you're fired.
Yeah. He's got he's got some stuff to say, apparently.
Well, you know it's going to be ugly because they're all going out around Fox News, circling the wagon, saying he was never Roger Ailes' right-hand man.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big battle. They're all saying they're trying to marginalize him already.
Yeah. Well, as Tom Brokaw would say, it's Deval.
It's Deval hopping.
Also developing, Bachmanistan. Have you heard of this? Michelle Bachmann's campaign? They're calling it Bachmanistan.
Uh-huh.
Right. Why is the 2012 presidential campaign of Representative Michelle Bachmann under investigation? In a new e-book, Bachmanistan, Peter Waldron, longtime evangelical activist who worked on Bachmann's campaign as a national field coordinator, details the campaign's implosion.
Lord, the day is at hand.
And how he says it broke trust with those across the country who volunteered for, donated to, and supported the four-term congresswoman.
Yeah!
Bachmann sought to quash the publication of his book. I wonder if there's anything chatty in there about Marcus.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
He said the campaign was defined by poor judgment.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
All right, sleep tight.
I'm going to discipline you.
Sleep tight, baby boy. All right, John Fugelsang, where might we see you?
I'm going to be performing tonight in the East Village with the Laughing Liberally Lab with some of the funniest progressive comics in New York. That's at Jimmy's 43 and, on East 7th Street. I'll be putting that on my social media and on the Ed Show with Ed Schultz this evening.
Cool.
And then W. Kamau Bell's show I just taped yesterday. I don't know when it's airing.
Woo-hoo! All right, have a great vacation week.
Free time.
Everybody.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
We'll see you a week from now. Bye, John. Love you.
Bye,
John. Guys.
All right. Yeah.